Hello, welcome to Introducing SQL Server 2012. This is a demo for SQL Server 2012 Extended Events Management Studio Enhancements. My name is Jonathan Cahias. I'm a SQL Server MVP, a Microsoft Certified Master for SQL Server 2008, as well as a Principal Consultant with SQL Skills. One of the greatest features that was added into SQL Server has to be Extended Events and the level of detail that you can get with diagnostic troubleshooting inside of the environment. However, in 2008, there was no user interface associated with it, so there was a slow level of adoption to be able to use it because it just required so much time to figure out. In 2012, if we expand our management tab, we now have an extended events folder where we can get direct access to extended events through the user interface. We can see all the sessions that have been defined in the session folder here. There's two default sessions that are created with the instance. There's one for monitoring always on, and there's the system health session as well. So to create a new event session, what we do is we'll click on the sessions folder, and we'll make use of the new session wizard here, which is the fastest way to get up and running with a SQL Server extended event session inside of SQL Server 2012. So if we open the wizard, it will open with an introduction page. And in the introduction page, we can just click next. And on the set session properties page, we can provide a name for our session. What we're going to name this one is non-SSMS connections. And we're going to set up a session that looks for connection activity that's not coming from Management Studio. So maybe it's just restricted to one of our applications. We also have the option to allow our session to start anytime that the server starts up. Now, in this case, we're not going to enable this, but if you had a session that you wanted to start up, have start up and running every time the SQL Server restarted, this would be where you would set that option up so that it starts automatically when the instance starts. Now, we're going to use a session template associated with this, and what we're going to use is the connection tracking template. And what this template does is it tracks connection activity for the server, and it does it through the login and logout events. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with the template as the basis for our event session, and we're going to search our event library by typing in the event library box for our SQL batch completed and our statement completed events inside of extended events. And we're going to add those two events using multi-select over to our event session. We could do the filtering by the event names only. We could filter by the name and the description, or just by the fields associated with an event. Or we could do all associated with that. We could also filter by our category, or we could filter by our event channels as well. There's lots of options for how we could find the events that we want to find inside of extended events inside of this UI. So if we click next, what we're going to do is we have global fields. These are called actions inside of extended events. And they allow you to collect additional data. And inside of the wizard here, it's going to add each of these that we check to all of the events inside of our event session. So we're going to add the client application name and the host name that it's coming from. And once we've added our global fields, we have the ability to set global filters that are going to create filters across all of the events inside of our event session. And for this, we are going to create a filter on the SQL Server application client app name. We're going to use a not equal to operator, and we're going to do Microsoft SQL Server Management Studio. So any application that connects that is not named Microsoft SQL Server Management Studio will be captured by our event session. And when we click next, we have the option of where are we going to store our data. Now, there's multiple storage areas inside of extended events known as targets. And for our target configuration, we're going to opt to save the data to a file, which allows us to do post-processing of the information that we captured and will allow me to show you a couple of the newer features of the UI as well. You can also have it stored in an in-memory target, which is a ring buffer, and you can specify how many events you want to keep inside of the target. And if you have an event session that's rolling events really fast, you can specify that you want to maintain a specific number of events by type inside of the target instead of having it just function as a first-in, first-out buffer or queue for holding the events. So we're going to turn that one off. We're going to leave saved the file for later analysis. And we're going to click Next. And we have the option to script our event session here if we wanted to look at the DDL and make manual changes associated with it. But what I'm going to do is just go ahead and click Finish. After it's created our event session, it gives us two more options. One would be to start the event session immediately after we close the dialog, and the other is to watch the live data on screen as it's captured, which we are going to do. So our server has a lot of activity going on with it, and because I have previously created a similar session to this, the UI here is going to open up with a lot of things that it wouldn't typically open up with. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just go really fast and clear all of these items. And the only two things that you typically get by default in the UI is the name and the timestamp. So when you open up or create an event session and you view live data, the way that you see the data is just like this. You have the name and timestamp for the event, and then you have all the details for each of the currently selected event in the UI down here in the details pane. So the way that you can add the columns would be the reverse of what you just saw me do to remove them, or you can right click on an individual column down here, do show column and table, and it will actually bring that column up into the table. The alternative is to right click on the column headers, do choose columns, and you can add or remove columns as you need to. There is a neat functionality here with merge columns where you can actually select the multiple column outputs from different events. For example, a really good one to do this with would be batch text and statement, which would correlate to what would have been text data inside of a SQL trace. And you could do text data here. And if you're looking at a SQL statement completed or a SQL batch completed event inside of the environment, you'll see that it now puts both of those two pieces of data in the same column for the two events that are generating those data. So there's a lot of really interesting things that you can do associated with that. If we go up to the extended events menu, we have a bunch of options that are very similar to what we had with Trace. We can stop the data feed, we can clear the data in the window, we can enable auto scroll, show the details pane. One thing we can do is we can create local client-side filters of the data that's being shown. So while it's gathering the information, we can filter that information locally so that we can focus in on certain problem areas or points that we want to look at. We have display settings, and we have the option to save our display settings. So if you're opening files and it doesn't retain the display settings, one of the neat things to do is you define it once, save it, and then you have the template. So anytime that you open a file up, you actually have the display settings to revert back to. If we stop our data feed, we get the option to be able to export the results of our table that it's currently showing to a extended events file. In the file system, we could write it to a table inside of a database, or we could dump it out to a CSV file as well. That's very useful to be able to do. The other thing we can do is we can do grouping and aggregation. So if we click on grouping, we can tell it to group by event name, and it rolls up all of our events so that we can see how many times each of them have executed. If we wanted to do an aggregation, we can aggregate. In this case, there's not really any good data that I added in here to aggregate by, but if we go to choose columns, and maybe we want to add CPU time. So we can go back and do an aggregate the sum of the CPU time associated with each of them, and there's no real workload running here, so there's not really a large amount of CPU time that's being reported by my events, but that would be how that you would do aggregation inside of the UI really, really quickly. The last thing you can do is you can go open a file, and if you had a file target, we need to go first stop our event session. If we go open the file that we generated, in this case it should be non-SSMS agent connections. It opens in the default display, and this is where we can go open our recent display settings and apply our display settings that we previously saved to a template back out to our display for our file that we just opened. And that concludes the demonstration of how you can make use of the extended events UI. There's a lot more functionality that's in there, so have a look around and enjoy.